ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
Ever since the COVID-19 pandemic hit our country, healthcare providers and first responders have been dealing with a severe shortage of personal protection equipment, including face masks that filter out the deadly virus. On this edition of UWM Today, we're going to hear about a local team of entrepreneurs and engineers who helped design masks that can be mass-produced. And they did it in a matter of weeks, not months or years. Our guests are Kyle Jansen, director of the UWM Prototyping Center. It's located at the university's Innovation Campus in Wauwatosa. Joining Kyle is Lindsay Roddy. She's a doctoral student at UWM's College of Nursing and the CEO and founder of Roddy Medical, a Milwaukee medical device startup company. Kyle and Lindsay, welcome to today's program. Great to have you with us. This is really the story of two face masks that have been developed locally, and both of you were involved in both of those efforts. Lindsay, let's start with you. How did you get the ball rolling on this?
Sure. So honestly, it started with we were walking the dog and saw our neighbor who is a nurse on the COVID unit. And my husband is a physician on the front lines of COVID as well, as this all was starting back in March. And she told her story about how they were running out of masks and her mask broke and she wasn't sure what they were going to do on Monday. And we started thinking and literally went to Joann Fabrics and started to buy materials to make cloth masks, just looking at, well, what can we do? How can we maybe fill this need? And after about a day of making masks in the basement with our sewing machine, we thought, you know, I'm part of this, I'm the CEO of this medical device startup company, Roddy Medical, and I've worked with Kyle Jansen for the last 2 years. And so we both looked at each other and said, you know what, we need to call Kyle because we need to step it up a notch. I don't think these cloth masks are quite going to cut it for what we need.
And so that started both you and Kyle at the Prototyping Center down the path of creating a mask, but you didn't go to your own line just yet, because I understand that you heard there were others in town who also were alarmed and were trying to do something to fill the void of those absent masks. What happened there?
Yes. So after about a day, right after we called Kyle, the next day we were in the UWM Prototyping Center for the entire day with engineers. We brought in a couple of, you know, physicians, myself as a nurse, and started crafting something. And we had a prototype by the end of the day. Well, the next day we heard about 10 minutes before this meeting that there was a mask task force and we were invited to join. So we thought, you know what, more minds, the better, right? Let's do this. So we joined the call and we brought forward the prototype and joined this large team to try to bring masks to those who need it.
And that project was involved engineers at Husco, I believe, right, Kyle?
Yeah, there was probably a collaboration of, I'd say, a dozen engineering powerhouse companies, but it was led by and managed through Husco.
And so what happened in that process? Was there brainstorming around the clock, or what was the glue that united these people from different companies?
The glue was the empathy for the clinicians. The engineers, you know, we sit in our offices, we sit in our shops. We are not on the front lines, but everybody in the Mask Force consortium, call it that, had some personal connection to the reason they were working around the clock. And it starts with empathy. That is the glue that kicked everybody off into wanting to be involved with this. To be a part of this, you had to sign up and say that you weren't willing to take a profit from this, that you were doing this genuinely from the goodness of product development and helping other people. And that was truly the glue that got this started.
And Lindsay, from your standpoint as an entrepreneur who has this startup company around medical devices, it must have been very exciting to be working with others who have established firms and are accustomed to this sort of major engineering effort.
Yeah, so I mean, it was an opportunity to bring what we had learned and our expertise to the table alongside some really awesome people to try to really bring something about. And it's amazing how fast everything went, and it was a neat experience, most definitely.
So what was the outcome? Did that task force end up producing the masks that they set out to?
The Husco team on day five took one of the designs and just ran with it. They do it. It's called, as in engineering, you shut the door, you don't answer the phones, and you just put your heads down and you go until you come out with the outcome. So on day five, they just took it and ran with it. And at the time, it was the right thing to do. And hats off to them. And they are now dabbling in production and facing the challenges of trying to do this really quickly. And they're moving forward with a mask that they've created through this collaboration.
Yeah, what a great success story. And again, yeah, a sign of how people in the Milwaukee community, regardless of where they work, were willing to go ahead and drop everything and jump on it. Yeah. But that's not the end of the story for the two of you, is it? Because as Husco and the Mask Force team began to move down the road of producing their device, the two of you weren't done. What happened next, Lindsay?
So we sat back. Yeah, I mean, admirably so, Husco moved forward to produce masks as quickly as possible. But we sat back as clinicians ourselves, you know, the group of doctors, nurses, and Kyle, and all the other engineers who had put in so many hours of our time, and said, you know, we still need to modify this. We still need to move to improve some things to really help make sure that this meets the need for healthcare professionals. So we kept moving on our own path to make that happen.
And so, Kyle, how did that movement take shape in your lab? Because it's one thing to have a great idea. It's another to have a great product in your hand.
The changes that occurred happened through a process called customer discovery. And from what we continued to learn, as new requirements came in, as we tested products and prototypes on pretty much an 8-hour cycle, we had a new iteration in our hand. We had a new device on our faces. We had something to try out. We had clinician input on each one of those every single time we changed it. And every single time a different clinician put this on, or maybe head of infectious disease control got to look at it, or somebody from the emergency room got to look at it, they had more input of the requirements that they needed in a mask. And we got feedback such as, well, this is great, but the reason I wouldn't use it is XYZ. And we started making a list of that. And then we'd immediately change the design, much to my design team's chagrins, pivot, go in a new direction with the new requirements, update it to that, show it to somebody else again and say, great, you fixed this, but I would only buy that if. And you hear that a number of times, and it's very frustrating when your timeline is get it done now, but also required in order to come up with the best product. So we were blessed with access to the clinical teams every other day for about 2 hours. And we would come with 3 or 4 new iterations to try out, to discuss, and we'd get feedback, and we'd come back 2 days later with 3 or 4 new iterations. And that key term is pivoting and iterating, and the ability to use the prototyping center was paramount. And I say that because we were able to crank out a new design literally every 8 hours. So that's about 2 a day, 1 overnight, and that's how we really flew.
Well, I've had the benefit of seeing a picture of the mask that you came up with, but because this is radio, we have to create a picture in the minds of our listeners. So Lindsay and Kyle, I'd like you to describe what it is that you created that is a device that's going to meet the needs, as you pointed out, of the people on the front line. Lindsay?
Yes. So first off, I want to thank, I mean, we had so many clinical partnerships that came. We can't mention them yet until we have their permission, but the clinical partners that came alongside us to make this possible were phenomenal, and it wouldn't have happened for multiple health systems, but one in particular that really rose to the challenge and met with us every week. We are so grateful to them and to our other, you know, BioCut Systems and other engineering firms that came alongside us to make this happen. Wouldn't have happened without them, even after we split off in our own path. But the mask, what I think we're really proud of is it was designed every step of the way, as Kyle said, with nurses and doctors and respiratory therapists along with us. It is all medical grade materials. It's very easy to breathe through because we have pre-approved FDA filters that filter out 99.99% of bacteria and viruses. It is clear. And as a nurse, that really hits home to me because you have people that are coming in the rooms and patients are scared and you're a big blob of protective equipment. Who is this person? You know, you see these days, you know, people are writing their name on their protective gowns and everything. The mask is clear. That's that point that you can see a smile, you can see a face. For the deaf community, this is really important because you can lip read. I mean, you think about people wearing masks everywhere and what that does for them as far as their ability to communicate. So it's clear. It's all medical grade. It's comfortable. It has a soft fit. We, both Kyle and I, have worn these around, you know, as part of our testing for hours and hours at a time, done cardio exercise with these. You can wear these for hours comfortably versus you see pictures online of nurses and doctors that have like skin breakdown, bruises, and like boils on their face from wearing N95s over and over and over again. And so It's made to be comfortable. It's made to be wearable. It's for long periods of time. And it's designed for reuse. So it helps in this shortage to meet the need that's there.
Kyle, how tough was it to engineer this? You got the ideas. You heard the doctors and the nurses say, a little snug here, or I want more vision up on top. But taking that idea and then running it through the prototype lab, did you ever reach a point where you said, enough already? We've got to go with a design?
Yeah, this was the most stress I've ever put my body through in my life. The challenge is that the target change daily. What does the finish line look like? What are the requirements need to be? And in a typical product development process, you spend 3 months gaining this customer discovery, these requirements. You understand what your supply chain will be. Okay, we need to create a mask that does these things. We can use these materials and we will sell this many. And the sense of urgency was through the roof. From the first meeting, I will never forget the resonating quote, people are dying. We need this mask today. And every day I didn't have a mask completed nor the path to production made clear, I was stressed out. And it was with that sense of urgency that really caused everybody to never complain, to never give up, and to never get tired. And I say that because when we had a mask and it was done and we thought it was good enough, we said, great, now I get to go home and get some sleep and see my family. And the clinicians would say, well, I like this, but I wouldn't use it because X, Y, Z. And I put my head on the ground so many times because I knew I wanted a year to develop this. And I had days just with that resonating people are dying statement. So the challenge where we'd find a filtration media and we'd say, okay, we could use this. And the next day you go to buy it and it's gone. Everybody on earth is doing what we're doing. We'd find a material, certain type of silicone or certain type of plastic. We'd say, okay, we're going to buy some tomorrow and it's gone. So we need to redesign with a new material. So it was a moving target, not only from the onboarding of requirements, but the availability and then inavailability of supply chain changed day to day.
Just a fascinating story of the evolution of a product that can help people. You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack, and joining us in the studio are two members of the UWM family that were involved in the development of a new face mask that is going into production, is being used on the front line by healthcare workers who are treating patients of COVID-19. Our guests are Lindsay Roddy. She's a doctoral student in UWM's College of Nursing, also an entrepreneur. She's CEO and founder of a company called Roddy Medical, a Milwaukee medical device startup firm. And alongside her, Kyle Jansen, who's director of UWM's Prototyping Center. That's the prototyping center you'll find located in the UWM Innovation Campus Research Park, located out in Wauwatosa. By the way, you've been painting such a wonderful picture of this product. I want to tell our listeners, we're actually going to put a picture of it up on the WUWM website. If you go to the website and just look up the UWM Today program, there'll be a picture of it right along with an of audio file of this recording, because it's a really, really cool thing. Lindsay, I want to come back to you and talk about when you finally settled on the design. At that point, did you say, my entrepreneurial training paid off? Do you feel like you've sort of taken the ball across the finish line, or still is there a lot more to do before this mask is where you would like it to be in terms of being just perfectly designed and also in production? Where do we stand in that process?
Well, I think the all systems go light went on when our clinical partners said yes. This is it, because I am a nurse, but I'm one nurse, and you need input from many to make this possible. And so that was the green light. But this is an ongoing process. We are ramping up, looking at larger scale manufacturing, things like that. And then there's some requirements that then get added in for larger scale manufacturing. And as a medical device company, getting to the design is a small piece of the large picture, very much. When you're looking at what does it really take to get a product from that design to the finish line, there's a number of steps, including finding, you know, engineering partners, finding funding, you know, fundraising, getting investments, you know, into this as well. And so we are not done yet. We got a ways to go to really, you know, again, meet that goal of getting as many masks on faces as we possibly can.
Kyle, what's your capacity in the prototyping center to produce the masks while Lindsay and her team are going through the steps of bringing this onto a production line?
So three of us, 12 masks a day, 5 days a week, we could make 60 between the three of us here at the prototyping center. That's not going to make much of a dent. What we can do is best utilize our time to make, you know, 100 or 200 masks, and that's what we've done, send that out for customer feedback, and then ramp up to do automated fabrication. And for example, a month from now, say we worked around the clock and we were able to make 240 masks between the three of us here, or we could spend the time into working with suppliers who can punch out parts every 20 seconds, every minute. Now they can make 5,000 masks a week. Why should we bother working around the clock to make as many masks as we can when we're only going to be making a few hundred, when the right thing to do is freeze the design, start automating, and then get to production quickly so that we can have somebody else make these in the thousands?
So if you're able to produce at this point maximum of 60 or so of these prototypes, what's happening with them? Are they out in the field right now here in Milwaukee hospitals or emergency rooms? Who's using the prototypes and what sort of feedback are you getting?
Yeah, so we're making them in small batches just because of our capacity until we can get larger scale manufacturing up and off the ground, which we hope will be very soon. And so the first 100, again, have gone to our main clinical partner, and they will be using them in their hospital. And then we've been in discussions with people from other hospital systems to a fire department, to a couple dental offices, a massage parlor. I mean, really, you think about the breadth of who needs protection to allow them to do, you know, not only, you know, the frontline healthcare workforce, but overall the front lines of people who could get exposed to this. So we've been in discussions with many, and the goal is to get this feedback to make the critical improvements needed as we jump into manufacturing to make sure that we are really, that it is absolutely a out of the park product, which we're really excited about where it is now. But again, feedback has been a critical component of this process.
How soon before we see the masks rolling off a high-speed production line?
Once we get the final feedback, I mean, we want to be able to hit these waves that are coming towards us as people are going back to work and things like that. So, you know, we're getting quotes in and things like that. But, I mean, once we pull the trigger on manufacturing, go ahead, Kyle. He's raising his hand over there.
Once we have what we call a design freeze, we'll need a few weeks economically to make a cost-effective automated production process. Obviously, with a boatload of more funding, we can reduce that few weeks down to 1 week, but you're spending a lot of money for that. But we're racing right now to come up with the cost-effective, mass-producible mask, and that is a little bit different fit, form, and function than our mask that we're able to create in the prototyping center.
Got it. What about government regulations? Do these have to be approved by the FDA or CDC or some other arm of government?
Yes, they do. And that's another piece to this too, right? Is that the FDA has a say in this. And that's what's been a really interesting piece of this process is health policy and policy in general around this has been changing. I mean, especially at the beginning, it felt like daily, probably was daily. I mean, as so riding this roller coaster of policy and regulation. So yes, we are in process of getting FDA clearance. And sometimes that takes a while, depending on, you know, we have the Emergency Use Act that is in place right now. And so that allows companies like ours to move forward much more quickly than you normally would be able to. But that is definitely a key pillar in our strategy as we're moving forward. You have to have that.
It's not one step at a time. It's a lot of steps at a time to get across the finish line. I have to ask you, how did you come up with the name Together Mask?
That is a good story. Go, Kyle.
On day four, I'd asked my wife, because I spoke with a number of clinicians, and said, we need some emotional, you know, lift to this. We can't put certain phrases on this. And I asked my wife to think about it. And the next morning she woke up and she said, Together. This is bringing us together. When you think of the pandemic as a whole, yeah, there's a lot of bad going on, but there's also a lot of good going on too, in terms of people loving each other, caring for each other, looking out for each other. And once we heard that, I couldn't get it out of my head. I told a number of people, and that stuck. We haven't come up with a better name, and that's truly been a great summary of this project in response to the pandemic.
Yeah, it's got to be very exciting for both of you. It's like birthing a baby, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the together is right on the front of the mask, too. I mean, it's right on the mask so that as whether it's a nurse or a doctor, or an ambulance or a massage therapist, whoever it is that's leaning over someone, you see that together right there on the mask. It's visible.
Yeah. Boy, great. Great, great message and a great brand. We just have a few minutes left. And Lindsay, I do want to have you talk a little bit more about how your engagement in the entrepreneurial programs at UWM prepared you for this quick ramp up to not just starting a company, but getting a product about ready to roll out. You've been working at UWM's Lubar Entrepreneurship Center for what, the last couple of years?
Yes, yes. So I've been very involved in the programming through key people like Brian Thompson, Dr. Ilya Avdiv, Brian Stern, Nicole Green, And that really allowed this to happen. Because as a nurse, I'd never really been exposed to entrepreneurship in the past. And I had an idea for our first flagship product that we had and or that we have. And it just sparked something in me that I never knew was there. And so from that, and with the training that they had and other programs in our community, we were able to kind of take this forward and able to use what we'd learned from the first products, honestly, to then kind of speed through some of the things where we knew how to address some of the concerns or knew how to address some of the regulatory pieces to a certain extent. And then, yeah, it really allowed this to happen. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Luber Entrepreneurship Center and their programming, honestly.
Well, you set out, it sounds like, in your career to be a nurse. You became a nurse. Did you ever envision yourself becoming a nurse entrepreneur?
No, I never thought of that as an option. And that's actually a really big passion point for me personally. You know, my dissertation work is around medical device development and testing, but I think there's so much potential. And if there's any other nurses listening on the line or physicians, or there's so much potential there because you have a workforce that is right there with patients and are often not consulted on a lot of medical device design and or whatever, you know, but they understand the problems of the patients. They understand what patients go through. And I just see so much potential there. And so that's a big passion area of mine. Because the whole reason, you know, you become a nurse or a physician is because you want to help people. This is another way to help people. This is another way to, just real quick, a nurse that I was talking to that was, she said, you know, what really made me make the jump from being, you know, at the bedside with my patients to jumping into a company was understanding that I would have to work for 200 years, you know, all those shifts full time in order to touch as many patients as my company could. And we don't always think about that as a nurse, but a lot of the skills transition over into business in its own right. And so that was a little bit of a long segue, but I never imagined myself here, and I'm so glad I'm here.
Do you anticipate continuing to be in a clinical setting as well as working in your business?
I am very, very, very part-time right now as a pool nurse in a recovery room setting. And I think it keeps my feet on the ground, but because it provides valuable insight. I mean, we'll see. Either way, I want to be connected, if not myself, only with those that are right there on the front lines, because there's an understanding there that you need to have to bring to the table that, again, but tying it back to one of Kyle's first comments in this interview, empathy, understanding exactly what those problems are right on the ground. And that's how it's through that understanding that you can effectively create something that's meaningful.
Well, Lindsay, Kyle, you both have been wonderful in terms of sharing your story of how you want to help people. Empathy clearly exists in both of your worlds, and we thank you for sharing the account of how you've developed the Together Mask, a device that may have a long-reaching, long-lasting impact in this battle against COVID and other infectious diseases down the road. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Kyle Jansen and Lindsay Roddy, our guests on this edition of UWM Today. Take care, everybody. Stay well. Stay healthy. See you next week at the same time. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.